As we close in on 2,000 shows here at Downtown, we're celebrating by getting you to vote for the greatest moment in downtown history. Here they are, the final five. Number one in Downtown's greatest hits, John O'Hurley of Seinfeld with a lost Jay Peterman monologue.
This was from the Friars Club episode, and it's where Rob Schnapp is playing my hard of hearing assistant. And I thought that he and Elaine were having a little tete-a-tete on office time, and I thought I was going to play Cupid and encourage it. So I walked into her office with two tickets to the Karamazov Brothers Circus. I slap them down on her desk, and I tell her that she and Bob can knock off a little early to get ready for the circus. And she looked at me as though I was had grown a second head, and she said this. She goes, "Bob?" And this was the monologue that was cut. I said, "Elaine, don't worry. I, too, am no stranger to love on the clock. As a young lad, my father apprenticed me to a honey factory in Belize. The chief beekeeper was this horrible hag of a woman with gnarled teeth and a giant wart that she called a nose. Ooh, she was not attractive even by backward standards. But love is truly blind, Elaine, and as the days went on, working closer and closer together, that sweet smell of honey in the air, I knew I had to have that horrible creature. And I did, so you and Bob have a good time tonight."
Downtown greatest hit number two, Bryan Cranston plays Cranston Trivia with us. You've created so many iconic roles through the years with Walter White, with Hal from Malcolm in the Middle, Dr. Tim Watley in Seinfeld, but people may not know you had a long, long career before those shows that made you a huge success. And I wonder if we could throw out some characters and see if you could recall what show they were on.
Wow. You might just dump me. Oh, I would be surprised if I remembered.
All right, let's start with this one, because actually you talked about this show the last time you were on with us. Your character was Douglas Donovan.
Now, that show I know, because I played that character for 2 years on a daytime drama, a soap opera called Loving, back in the early 80s.
With our friend John O'Hurley,
yeah, he was my nemesis on the show. In fact, we married the same woman. One of your typical. At the same time, we were married to the same woman at the same time, and of course, I didn't know it because good guys don't know it,
right.
Bad guys know it. So yeah.
All right, you're one for one. How about this one, Uncle Russell?
Okay. Uncle Russell was a character I played on a show for CBS called Raising Miranda, a beautiful show that I think was before its time. It was really sweet and funny, but it wasn't like a laugh riot. And I don't think the network really knew what to do with it at that time. But I enjoyed it.
You're on a roll here, two for two. How about Lieutenant Gordon Denton?
Lieutenant Gordon Denton. I guess he's a cop, or he could be in military, right?
Yeah, I would go with your first instinct. I would go with cop.
A cop. Lieutenant Gordon Denton. I don't remember. What was that one?
That was Brooklyn South.
Oh, boy, that was a story. I put that in the book, too. That was one of my worst experiences as an actor. No wonder I blocked that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Now, you've played a lot of doctors through the years. This was just a one-time appearance as Dr. Harding Fletcher.
Dr. Harding Fletcher. Probably on something like Murder, She Wrote.
Ooh, you're so close. You're right in the neighborhood with another TV icon.
I'll say maybe Matlock.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. There
okay.
You go. All right. And the last one,
early. You know, Rich, you got to have a bell.
I know. We should have a bell.
Ding, ding. It's winning. Yeah.
Okay. Or thunderous applause. Here's the last one. Do you remember playing Robert Hollis?
Robert Hollis.
Working with an Academy Award winner.
Was Robert Hollis my character on a show called Airwolf?
Yes. Wow. That's impressive. Now four out of five with about 150 IMD listings. Well done, sir.
Wow. Well, that was a very important show for me to do because I met my future wife on that show.
Well, there you go.
That was like 31 years ago or so. 31, 32 years. Wow.
Well, that's incredible.
Time flies.
Downtown moment number three, rap legend Coolio judges the downtown rap battle.
Straight out of Bangor, crazy mother named Allen. Dropping words, mad flowing by the gallon. When I write it, you can't fight it. Light a match and you'll ignite it. You step, Jabron, you're gonna see what happens when councilmen mess with me. Ain't no lie, you want to be a hero, but you're Jar Jar, you ain't no Solo.
All right, that's our first one. What'd you think of that, Coolio?
I don't know. Let me hear some more.
Want to hear some more? We'll give you a little more of that. All right.
I'll tell you afterwards.
Be a hero, but you're Jar Jar. You ain't no Solo. Sitting with the council, taking a seat.
He's all right.
All right.
I mean, for somebody that don't rap, you know, he took the little NWA style and kind of flipped it a little bit.
Yeah, all right. Well, here's the competition.
The next person will have to really come with it to beat him.
All right. Well, here's the other one. We'll give you a shot. This guy's a TV sportscaster. Let's see how he does.
Sportsbooks, I do that. I thought that you knew that. Along with the late news, be sure that you do that. Main football, I'm on it. And handsome, you got it. Up against Jeff Saleri, he doesn't scare me. He's a friend of mine, but way past his prime. I'm the king on the throne, and he can watch me shine. He's a friend of mine, but way past his prime. Looks at Ruben Mitchell, only worries about his lawyer's time. Saying sue that.
What do you think of that one, Coolio?
He was hella all beat.
Well, you know, we suggested
he
that
he wasn't in the pocket, man. He wasn't riding the B right. I'm gonna give him a D minus.
All right, so you like the first one better?
I like the first one better.
Downtown's greatest hit number four, Tim Matheson of Animal House, on Donald Trump and that film. If the current occupant of the White House was a character in Animal House, would he be Niedermeyer? Would he be Greg Marmalade? Would he be Chip Diller? Or would he just be the back end of Dean Wormer's horse?
That's a great question. I think there's a lot of Niedermeyer in him, and I think that's pretty close to it, I think. That and the back end of the horse.
And Downtown Greatest Hit number five, Patrick Fabian of Better Call Saul, with a killer impression of his castmate, Jonathan Banks.
Well, talk about somebody who knows how to just let the camera come to them and watch what they're thinking. So I get to meet Jonathan Banks. The first day of Better Call Saul, I meet him. I just binged Breaking Bad. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, they killed Mike. He goes, I know, worst day of my life. And from then we can become friends, and he's really nice. And okay, I hope he's not listening, actually, because he's really nice. He's a softie. He's sentimental. He loves to laugh. So we get picked up for season three. I think I'm friends with Jonathan. So I call Jonathan, and I'm like, Jonathan, we got picked up for season three, as if we had just made the JV cheerleading team in high school. I'm so excited. Jonathan Banks says to me, Patrick, that's nice, but let me remind you, we know Bobby makes it to Breaking Bad. We know I make it to Breaking Bad. You, Sehorn, Mando, we don't know what happens to you. Save your money.
Oh, man, that is great.
He wasn't wrong. I was hoping we were going to high-five over the phone, but okay, I get it.
Those are the five finalists. Cast your vote. The winner will be announced Thursday on show number 2000.